It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And apropos of our previous conversation, you should now have a vision in your head of a sort of a warty old man with crooked teeth and gray hair and a scraggly beard and this mellifluous voice. Good morning. It is time to talk to you about what's happening. And if you're paying attention, you probably have noticed that, there are some signs of fall coming about. One of the most obvious is the beginnings of the changes of the maple trees. I think they are probably a number one specimens for fall. And we have seen them begin to start coloring. I have now found one or two that are completely colored. Not very many, but some. I have some that have not even begun to color. And that is typical of the maples. Last year, we had a warm fall, and it was October before we reached peak of color. The average peak of color for maples in this area is generally in the week of the 20s. So sometime around the 23rd, 24th, 25th of September, we should be at our peak of color. And if this year is any indication, I would say that we will be pretty close to average. Besides the maples, which are, turning red and orange and yellow around you, the hazelbrush, which is the predominant understory at my house and probably at your house as well. It is a pretty common plant. The beaked hazel turns yellow and the American hazel turns red, and both are showing signs of turning. I have estimated them at about 25% change. So about one leaf in four on the hazel are showing signs of color. So that's kind of where the hazels are at. That's kind of where the maples are at. The balsam poplars, the balm of Gilead, are starting to turn brown. I've seen some ash trees that are yellow. I have ash on my own property that are not yet turning yellow. It all depends on, each tree. And of course, as I'm fond of telling you, all phenology is local. So whatever's happening at your house may or may not be consonant with what is happening at my house, but it will follow the sort of same path. So maples, hazels, ash, balsam poplar, the birch, and the paper birch especially, are starting to turn, but birches are really, they have this unusual habit where they'll get a few leaves that'll turn yellow and those leaves will fall off. And when they fall off, there'll be a couple more leaves that'll turn yellow and then those leaves will fall off. So the trees, by and large, look green. But the whole time they're sort of dropping leaves, not fast, but kind of steady. Few leaves get yellow, they fall off. A few more leaves get yellow, they fall off. The whole tree won't be turning yellow until much later in the fall. But in the meantime, it's kind of creeping on you. So watch your birches and see what might be happening there. Flowers, there are still a lot of species of asters. The northern heart-leaved, the large-leafed, the flat-topped, the goblet or calico asters, Ericoides, I can't remember what they call it, but it is a white aster with very small flowers, lots and lots of them, and that one is still blooming. Goldenrods are beginning to decline, but there are still lots of goldenrods in bloom. My friend Kyle Pearson remarked that the gray goldenrods are sort of coming to the end of their bloom period, and that's what I'm seeing at my house as well. So there are some changes with the goldenrods, and they're sort of sliding into their fall decline. As Chad Kaditz and his class noted down in Little Falls, there's still some butter and eggs blooming. I saw evening primrose, black-eyed Susans, tansy. All of these flowers are still blooming, but kind of in their decline. The one that is probably not in its decline, one that is probably at its peak, are the tall sunflower, and they are just absolutely blooming everywhere. And if you're curious, go out. If you're looking at the sunflowers, there are quite a few of them. And sunflowers are all kind of interesting. Most of them have opposite branches down low on their stems. And then as you get higher on the stems near the top where the flowers are, the leaves become alternate. So it's one of those, you know, for a lot of us who do plant identifications, one of the things we look at right away is, are the leaves opposite or alternate? In the case of the sunflower, the answer is both. So it's a little bit confusing, but look at the stem. If the stem is very hairy, odds are you're looking at giant or tall sunflower. If the stems are smooth, then it more than likely is one called the sawtooth sunflower. And they're both out there, and they're both blooming in quite big groups. So get out there and have a look and see what's going on. Besides sunflowers, Jerusalem artichokes. Now, I don't see a lot of these blooming just anywhere, but I have a patch at home that I have planted, and I keep it in check by mowing around it because otherwise it would continue to spread. But the Jerusalem artichoke is sort of a sunflower in its flower. It's a bright yellow flower, big rays, central disc. If you only looked at the flower, you'd say sunflower, but if you look at the leaf of the Jerusalem artichoke, it is quite large. It's very wide as well as quite long. Some of them are 6 or 8 inches long, and they're probably 4 or 5 inches wide. They have heavily toothed edges. If you grab the leaf and rub your thumb across it, you'll see that the top of the leaf feels like 60 grit sandpaper. It's really rough. But the fact that the leaf is so wide and so large is what gives it away as Jerusalem artichoke. So check around. Maybe there's some growing by your house. I also have cup plant, which is a prairie plant and was quite common out in the prairies. It is it's called cup plant because the leaves sort of join at the base and they form a cup. And when it rains, those leaves kind of fill up with water. And I suspect it was an adaptation to a much drier climate. But my friend Dick Thoyne gave me some that he had. He's got a bunch growing at his house. He gave me a clump to bring home, and I've enjoyed them very much. One of my cup plants is now probably 9 feet tall. The only way I can see the flowers is from the bottom. But it is a lovely, lovely plant and a lot of fun to look at. Other flowers that are in bloom, jewelweed, the spotted touch-me-not, is kind of at the end of its bloom. So check those out. That's that bright orange trumpet-shaped flower. And if you look carefully, if you find those bright orange flowers, and jewelweed almost always is growing near water. So it's going to be on swamp edges. It'll be in the ditches. It'll be along lake shores. It'll be where water is not far away. And the interesting thing about the jewelweed is the seed, spotted touch-me-not. And the seed is going to look like a little green banana. And if you touch that green banana on the bottom and it is ripe and ready, it's going to explode and the seeds are going to fly everywhere. So check out the jewelweed. It's still blooming. A plant that's not blooming but is quite prominent, and especially if you're along a lake shore or if you're in a big area of swampy ground, very wet ground, there is a plant called Great Water Dock. And many of you are probably familiar with curled dock, which is, grows in the ditches. Right now, it's kind of coffee brown. It's got these little tiny seeds that are, they're almost like flake tobacco. In fact, we used to call it Indian tobacco or tobacco weed, and it is dock. But the Great Water Dock, which is prominent right now, is bright red. And so yesterday I was driving along and I looked into this swamp and there were three of these 6 foot tall spikes of bright red. And right away I recognized them as Great Water Dock, and they are very lovely right now. So if you're driving by wetlands, check and see. If you're a waterfowler, a duck hunter, and you're getting ready to go out duck hunting, when you get out there, check and see. You're going to see some bright red plants here and there across the water, across the wetlands. And those are Great Water Dock, and they're quite lovely. So I hope you'll get a chance to appreciate those. I had a couple of encounters with butterflies this last week. There are a lot of clouded sulfur butterflies out right now. Those are the yellow ones. I was out in the middle of a pasture walking along, and I saw this unbelievably blue butterfly, very small, probably not an inch across with its wings open. But the blue color of it was so startling that it looked a bit like an alfalfa flower. It was that sort of blue purple. And I chased it around a little bit. It landed. I got a good picture of it. It turns out I was looking at the eastern tailed blue butterfly. Not uncommon, very common butterfly, but not one that I have paid much attention to up until Saturday or Sunday it was, when I ran across it and was flashed with that beautiful blue wing. So check out the eastern-tailed blue butterflies. I did not see any monarchs this week. I know there are still some around. I have reports of monarchs running as late as October, so I know they haven't all left the area yet, but they are definitely in migration. And if you're not paying close attention, they're probably sneaking away from you even as we speak. Today is the 8th of September. I would guess that sometime between now and next week when we speak, the hummingbirds will probably be on the move. We'll probably have fewer. Right now, I'm going through a lot of juice. And because this is the time of year when they are fattening up for migration, and their migration includes a 600-mile trip over the Gulf of Mexico, open water for 600 miles. They need all the energy they can get. So this time of year, I changed my formulation in my feeders from 1 to 4, that is 1 part sugar to 4 parts water. I change it to 1 to 3. So I have 1 part sugar, 3 parts water, which makes it 25% stronger, 25% more sugar, so that the hummingbirds get a good boost and it will help them. So if you're feeding hummingbirds, just bring the sugar up a little bit in your mixture and it will help those hummingbirds in terms of their survival for what is coming for them. Walking around the woods on Sunday, I found oak ferns, lady ferns, ostrich ferns, interrupted ferns, and bracken ferns all turning brown. So all of the ferns are kind of on their move toward fall, and we will probably see fewer and fewer green ferns as we get further into fall. So keep an eye on the ferns around your house. You're probably going to see some changes coming. The students over at Cherry and I were watching yesterday and ran into a great crowd of little frogs. There were wood frogs. There were spring peepers, and there were gray tree frogs, and the gray tree frogs were all bright green, but all of them were tiny, less than an inch long, and probably all of them were tadpoles a month ago. So this is, they have a nice little wetlands there in the back of the school at Cherry, and they had quite an assortment of frogs. It was really quite nice to be there and to see all of those young frogs. Gave me some hope for next spring. I'll be looking forward to seeing more and more frogs as we get into next spring, and hopefully those frogs will survive the winter and we'll have ample opportunities to hear them singing come April next year. While I was out with the kids, we ran into one of those tussock moth caterpillars. And the tussock moth caterpillars, it's quite a large group. They tend to be the really, really, really hairy ones. This one had six white hairy spikes, three on the front, three on the back. Had black hairs and yellow hairs along the sides. It did not look like anything you'd want to eat. You know, it would have gone down pretty rough with all those spikes of hair sticking out of it. So keep an eye out for those. They overwinter as caterpillars, and sometimes the tussock moth caterpillars, like the woolly bear, can be out and moving around even in the very, very cold weather. So lots of stuff to look at. That's the Phenology Show for this week. As always, I encourage you to share your observations with us. We love to hear from you, and we're thrilled that you are listening. I'd like to take a moment and say good morning to Nick, whom I met. Nick lives out in Fertile, Minnesota. He was at the concert on Saturday and came up and said hello, and told me how much he enjoyed the Phenology Show. I love to hear from you. I love to hear from all of you that enjoy the show. It makes what I do even more special because I truly enjoy it myself. I would do it regardless, but it's always nice to know that you appreciate it as well. Thanks.